It's been said before, but it bears repeating. In the Prajna Angos, April through June and October through December, we concentrate on intense zazen and the realization of our transcendent wisdom. That's when we have our seven-day seshin, those hermetically sealed retreats of 10 hours of sitting a day. In the Shila Angos, July through September and January through March, we open up and look at our practice in the world, the practice of compassion as epitomized by Kanon, whom we've installed today on the altar. It is to be hoped that this distinction, the lines between Shila and Prajna, are becoming more and more faint, that Shila is less and less a deliberate effort and falls more and more naturally out of the transcendent wisdom that we strive to develop in our practice on the mat. And vice versa, that our efforts in our lives, family, and community inform our practice in the Zendo. In addressing this issue this morning, I would like to look at a koan, case number 22 in the Blue Cliff Record, Xue Feng's turtlenose snake. Xue Feng taught the assembly, saying, "On South Mountain, there's a turtle-nosed snake. All of you people must take a good look." Chang Qing said, "In the hall today, there certainly are people who are losing their bodies and their lives." A monk related this to Xuan Sha. Xuan Sha said, "It takes Elder Brother Ling," referring to Chang Qing, "to be like this. Nevertheless, I am not this way." The monk asked, "What about you, teacher?" Xuan Sha said, "Why make use of South Mountain?" Yun Men took his staff and threw it down in front of Xue Feng, making a gesture of fright. So our story here has a cast of four main characters. And in keeping with our return to the Chinese names of these masters, who were Chinese, I'll try once again to use the Chinese names for the most part. So in this story, we have Xue Feng, whose Japanized name is Seppo, and three of his most distinguished disciples, scions of his house. Chang Qing is Choke in Japanese. Xuan Sha is Gensha in Japanese. And Yun Men, or Umon. The story of Master Xue Feng, his struggles and his eventual enlightenment, have been told many times, and I won't go into great detail about it here. Suffice it to say that he is known, even revered, as the man of great effort, who persisted devotedly and continuously, in spite of failure after failure, rebuff after rebuff. The man whom one teacher called a black lacquer bucket, a dimwit. But he was a man who never gave up on himself or on the practice. He just kept at it. Until one day, while snowbound in a small country inn, his Dharma brother, Yen To, younger than Xue Feng in years but older in practice, gave him the exact kick in the pants he needed, and Xue Feng came to great awakening. Later, he settled on a mountain in Fujian province in eastern China, which at that time was called Min province. And the name he took, Shui Feng, means snowy peak. He was also called Old Elephant Bones, after the mountain itself. He lived to a great age and left behind over 50 enlightened successors. Pretty good for a dimwit. His extraordinary effectiveness as a teacher, I suspect, stems largely from his own struggles as a student. When you've made all the mistakes, fallen into all the traps, you are able to recognize them and are better able to help others who are in the same predicaments. As for the others, these three, Chang Qing, Xuan Sha, and Yunmen, together with Pao Fu, that's Hofuku, and Zui Yan, Zuigan, were all Dharma brothers, and they appear frequently in the Blue Cliff Record as either principal characters or in supporting roles, each keeping an eye on the others, constantly testing, questioning, challenging, keeping each other's feet to the fire, as it were. In case number 23 in the Blue Cliff Record, they play around with Zuyen's eyebrows. At the end of the summer retreat, Zuyen said to the community, "All summer long I've been talking to you, brothers. Look and see if my eyebrows are still there." Pao Fu said, "The thief's heart is cowardly." Chang Qing said, "Grown." Yunmen said, "A barrier." Do you see the similarity? Again, we have several contributors. Zuyen also says, "Look and see." And here too, Yunmen gets the last word. As for Xuan Sha, he appears in case number 88 of the Blue Cliff, presenting the three disabilities. Xuan Sha, teaching the community, said, "The old adepts everywhere all speak of guiding and aiding living beings. Supposing they encountered three kinds of sick person, how would they guide them? With a blind person, they could pick up the gavel or raise a whisk, but he wouldn't see. With a deaf person, he wouldn't hear the point of words. With a mute person, if they had him speak, he wouldn't be able to speak. But how would they guide such people? If they couldn't guide these people, then the Buddha Dharma has no effect." A monk asked Yunmen for instruction on this. Yunmen said, "Bow." The monk bowed and rose. Yunmen poked at him with his staff. The monk drew back. Yunmen said, "You're not blind." Then Yunmen called him closer. When the monk approached, Men said, "You're not deaf." Next, Yunmen said, "Do you understand?" The monk said, "I don't understand." Yunmen said, "You're not mute." At this, the monk had an insight. What a family. These teachers knew each other intimately, and they meshed together like gears in a watch, one picking up where another leaves off. In our story here, all four partake of a wonderful Dharma dance, each playing his part to perfection. One cannot say that one remark or demonstration is superior to another. Each piece of this little drama is intertwined with every other. None could have done this alone. And then we have the turtle-nosed snake. This, I'm told, is a highly venomous species of cobra that is native to China. How many times has the Dharma been called poisonous? In case number 5, in the Mumon Khan, Wu Men, that's Master Mumon, accuses Xian Yen, that's Kyogen in Japanese, of spreading poison limitlessly, stopping up the monks' mouths and watching them with the black, piercing eyes of a devil. Zhao Zhou, Joshu, told everyone who came to see him to have a cup of tea. Beware of that tea. It too is poison. Xue Feng taught the assembly, saying, on South Mountain there's a turtle-nosed snake. All of you people must take a good look. Xue Feng tells us to take a good look at this viper. And how do we do that? By letting it bite us. By letting it swallow us up completely. Only then can we clearly see the beast and, in fact, save ourselves. The Christian mystic says, you shall not see God and live. Now, for those who are inclined to panic or who don't like snakes, this is a purely voluntary process. In fact, you have to work at it pretty hard. Most of us have to look at it carefully for a very long time. Changqing pays tribute to his teacher and to his Sangha. In the hall today, there certainly are people who are losing their bodies and their lives. Yes, in halls, temples, zendos, including this one, in and out of Sesshin, wherever there are serious and dedicated practitioners, there are those who are taking a good look. They lose their lives, bitten by the snake. In our practice on the mat, we look long and hard at this snake, and in the end it swallows us up, and we are replaced by the snake. But then, Xuan Sha takes us a step further. He asks a crucial question. When a monk related this to Xuan Sha, Xuan Sha said, it takes elder brother Ling to be like this. Nevertheless, I am not this way. The monk asked, what about you, teacher? Xuan Sha said, why make use of South Mountain? I am not this way. Their long association and practice together, notwithstanding, this is not an old boys' club. Every teacher is and must be their own person. Xuan Sha sees an opening, and he takes it. Why make use of South Mountain, or why only on South Mountain? Why indeed? Lives are lost in the zendo, on the mat. But what then? Strictly speaking, this is not the main point of this question, but still we can ask. What happens when the bell rings? We stand and bow, do our vows, prostrations, and then walk out the door. Does our clearly seeing the snake remain here on the south mountain of our mat, or this zendo, or wherever? If it does, then we have not truly seen the snake. This is the thrust of our Shila Ango. The phrase spreading the Dharma is not just about explicit teaching. It is about how we are in our lives. To limit it to here or there is to lose it altogether. Only by seeing the snake clearly, continually, and everywhere, in our lives, in our practice of the precepts, in our bearing witness to our lives, do we change ourselves and the universe. No, not only on South Mountain, not by any means only on South Mountain. Now, you might think that I'm about to launch into a commercial for Every Minute Zen mindfulness practice, as I've done before at some of these insurrections. Well, not so fast. Yes, mindfulness is a step, and a crucial one. But it is not the end. It is not the whole trip. If we are satisfied with mindfulness in our lives as the sum total, we have failed our teachers and betrayed our practice. Mindfulness is the gateway. At the beginning of a round of sitting, we are instructed to take some deep breaths, sway side to side, coming to the still point and settle into the moment. That's mindfulness, settling into the moment, into the task at hand, whatever it may be. But as we engage the practice, whatever it is, mindfulness slips away and we enter into the transcendent miracle that is beyond being or not being, beyond life or death. Can we do this outside the Zendo? Can we take the step beyond mindfulness in every situation? Changing a flat tire, changing a diaper. Mindfulness is crucial, but only with Zazen can we go beyond mindfulness. Mindfulness is still the self going out and confirming the 10,000 things. This, as Dogen says, is delusion. Only when the 10,000 things come in and confirm the self is there enlightenment. Here is where Yun Men steps in and shows us. Yun Men took his staff, threw it down in front of Shui Feng, making a gesture of fright. To live in this way is to see clearly every moment and in every situation. We cannot see clearly if we are bound up in concepts, thoughts, preconceptions, imaginings, scenarios, and so on and on and on. And we must have the courage to speak and act in accordance with that seeing. In case number 14 in the Blue Cliff Record, a monk asked Yun Men, "What are the teachings of a whole lifetime?" Yun Men said, an appropriate statement. Yuan Wu, the editor of the Blue Cliff, comments, "For 49 years, old Shakyamuni stayed in the world. At 360 assemblies, he expounded the sudden and the gradual, the temporary and the true. These are what is called the teachings of a whole lifetime." The monk, in this case, picked this out to ask, what are the teachings of a whole lifetime? Why didn't Yun Men explain for him in full detail, but instead said to him, an appropriate statement? To see clearly every moment is to short-circuit the verbiage. To see clearly is to grasp and act directly. An appropriate statement, verbal or non-verbal. Yun Men took his staff and threw it down in front of Shui Feng, making a gesture of fright. In his verse to this case, Shui To, a Dharma descendant of Shui Feng, says, "Elephant Bone Cliff is so high no one goes there. Those who get there must be master snake handlers." And Yuan Wu adds, "This turtle-nosed snake is unavoidably hard to handle. You must know how to handle it before you can do so. Conversely, if you don't know how to handle it, you'll be bitten by the snake." About a zillion years ago, when I was working at Scripps Institution of Oceanography in La Jolla, California. There was a very successful television producer named Ivan Tors, who had done a couple of TV series about animals. One of those series was called Flipper, about a dolphin, and another called Gentle Ben that involved a bear. They were basically the Lassie view of animals, highly anthropomorphized into playmates for children. Well, Mr. Tors decided he wanted to do a documentary series on animal behavior. So he came down to Scripps. And a friend of mine, who was a world expert on snakes and snake handling, brought down 3 or 4 rattlesnakes from his collection. And since I was working with reptiles at the time, I got drafted to help out. And we set up a couple of demonstrations of snake behavior in certain situations. As it turned out, we spent most of the afternoon restraining Mr. Tors, who kept trying to put his hand into the cage and pick up a rattlesnake. He was completely confident, saying things like, "Ah, you see, I do not fear the snake, and the snake realizes this, and so he does not fear me, and therefore the snake will not strike." This is wrong. Snakes are actually rather simple creatures. They don't go much in for Freudian analysis about fear. They don't worry about, gee, am I being a good person or a good snake? They see or sense something warm and alive, and bam! Yun Min took his staff, threw it down in front of Shui Feng, making a gesture of fright. Who sees the snake clearly? Do we clearly see the snake? Cars, children, teachers, spouses, partners, or are we so bound up by our images and imaginings that we miss the true reality? If you assert that things are real, you miss their true reality. But to assert that things are void also misses reality. Sengzhan. How do we see reality around us? Do we truly see? Or are we caught up and blinded by the ideas we develop? This can actually be an even greater risk as we get in, as we get on in practice. It's all too easy to develop a kind of Buddhist romanticism around practice. We get the notion that everything is supposed to be okay. Well, you know what? Everything is not okay. And that's okay. When confronted by something really dangerous, we are allowed to be afraid and to act afraid. When confronted by cruelty or violence, we are allowed to feel outrage and to speak and act appropriately, to speak truth to power. When confronted by death, we are allowed to feel grief and loss and to express it. But we must see the reality clearly. If you're going to sail a boat, you need to know wind and sky and water intimately and specifically. If you're going to try to save the environment or a piece of it like a rainforest, you must be as familiar with the ecology of that piece as a physician with a patient. Fuzzy feel-good notions don't cut it any more than angry, vengeful notions. The Buddha declared that the Dharma is as difficult to grasp rightly and as dangerous to grasp wrongly as a poisonous water snake. If you're going to mess with snakes, you have to learn to become an expert snake handler. You cannot indulge in romantic views about them. Zazen in and of itself does not make us experts on anything except Zazen. But it opens us up so that we are able to become so. And we need to become experts on our lives. We have intelligence, reasoning ability, powers of observation. We're allowed to use them. So our task, our assignment from Zhui Feng and his Dharma kids is this. Take a good look and keep on looking. Practice does not cease when we leave the South Mountain of the mat, any more than our lives cease when we walk into the temple. Only in this way do we truly become snake handlers, parents, partners, electricians, cooks, or cab drivers. Xue Feng once wrote a poem about himself. It goes like this. Human life, so hectic and hurried, is but an instant. How can you dwell for long in the fleeting world? As I reached 32, I emerged from the mountains. Already well past 40, I returned to Min. No use bringing up the faults of others again and again. One's own mistakes must be continually cleared away. I humbly report to the purple-clad nobles at court, the king of death feels no awe for the golden badges of rank. Let us continue our practice on and off the mat. And together with all beings, we attain Buddhahood.